Next morning, I had something else to think about. Two parcels arrived for me. I could hardly believe it when I saw my name on labels from two Bond Street shops, and the things inside were much more unbelievable. First, I unpacked an enormous round box of chocolates, and then a manuscript book bound in pale blue leather, tooled in gold. There was no card in either of the parcels, but of course I remembered Simon had promised me a box of candy if I let him look at my journal, and he had sent me a new journal too. There was nothing for Rose. We had scarcely recovered from the excitement of the parcels when the Scotney car arrived. Only the chauffeur was in it. He brought a box of hothouse flowers and a note from Simon asking us all to lunch the next day, even Thomas and Stephen. The flowers weren't addressed to anyone and the note was for Topaz. She said Simon was being very correct, which was a good sign. She gave the chauffeur a note accepting for all of us but Thomas and Stephen, and saying she was uncertain about them. She didn't like to refuse for them without knowing how they felt, which was just as well, because Thomas insisted on cutting school and coming. Stephen said he would sooner die. It was a peaceful, relaxed sort of party. Mrs. Cotton was still away, and Simon was very much the host, rather serious and just a bit stately, talking mainly to Father and Topaz. Rose and I wandered around on our own and drifted into the biggest greenhouse. It was lovely, moving through the hot, moist, heavily scented air, and it felt particularly private, almost as if we were in a separate world from the others. Rose suddenly said, "Oh, Cassandra, is it going to happen? Is it?" She looked as she used to on Christmas Eve when we were hanging up our stockings. "Are you sure you really want it to?" I asked, and then decided it was a wasted question when she was so obviously determined. To my surprise, she considered it a long time, staring out across the lawn to where Simon was talking to Father and Topaz. A pink camellia fell with a little dead thud. "Yes, quite sure," she said at last, with an edge on her voice. "Up to now it's been like a tale I've been telling myself. Now it's real, and it's got to happen. It's got to." "Well, I feel as if it will," I told her, and I really did. But greenhouses always give me a waiting, expectant sort of feeling. The next exciting day was when we went for the picnic. They called for us unexpectedly. Father had gone to London again, without any explanation, and Topaz made an excuse not to come, so only Rose and I went. We drove to the sea. It wasn't like an ordinary English picnic, because Neil cooked steak over the fire. Simon was at his youngest and most American that day. He and Neil kept remembering a picnic they had been on together when they were very little boys before their parents separated. I suppose they are only gradually getting to know each other again, but I feel sure Neil is already fond of Simon. With Simon, one can't tell. He is so much more reserved. They are both equally kind, but Neil's nature is much warmer, more open. He was nice even to Rose that day. Well, most of the time. Not that I see how anyone could have helped being, because she was at her very best. Simon seemed more fascinated than ever by Rose. Late in the afternoon, when she had just been particularly tomboyish, he said to Neil, "Did you ever see such a change in a girl?" "No, it's quite an improvement," said Neil. He grinned at Rose and she pulled a little face at him. Just for that minute, I felt they were really friendly to each other. "Do you think it's an improvement?" she asked Simon. "I'm wondering, shall we say it's perfect for the sea in the sunlight, and the other rose is perfect for candlelight? And perhaps what's most perfect of all is to find there are several roses." He was looking straight at her as he said it, and I saw her return the look. But it wasn't like that time at the Scotney dinner table. Her eyes weren't flirtatious. Just for an instant, they were wide and defenseless, almost appealing. Then she smiled very sweetly and said, "Thank you, Simon."
"Time to pack up," said Neil.
It flashed through my mind that he had felt it was an important moment, just as I had, and didn't want to prolong it. After that, he was as offhand to Rose as ever, and she just ignored him. It was sad when they had been so friendly all day.